Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
It's time to go to war in the natural. The world is at war. There are wars on every continent now. Battles being fought. People dying every moment. Massacres occurring. Souls being swept into eternity so fast. And we, as a body of Christ and the church, are supposed to settle back and take it easy. And just say, well, ho-hum. Okay, sit on. Whatever will be. You see, I'm waiting for the coming of Jesus. Some are saying, I'm waiting for Yeshua. Don't you name the name of Jesus to me. My phone's been ringing off the hook about that one. I don't like that one either. Some of you called me crying. Henry, I was just in a meeting last night. They asked all of those who use the name of Jesus to raise their hand. I raised my hand. Then they said, come up front. I went up front because I use the name of Jesus. Then they demanded that I renounce using the name of Jesus and never use it again and repent of using the name of Jesus. Henry, what do you think I should have done? I said, I hope you went to the door and kicked the side of the door and knocked the dust off your feet and prophesied against them. Yeah. What? Henry, they love the Lord. They don't love my Jesus. Now listen, I hope I'm not rattling your cage if you're messianic. I don't mean to. I love you. And I've spoken in many, many, many messianic groups from clear up in the top of the United States to San Francisco to Florida to Seattle. I don't get invited to too many anymore. Since I went on record and I said, I have a message for you messianic people. If you are genuinely messianic, then get back to the gifts and the calling that you have. Get back to reaching the Orthodox Jews for Jesus and stop proselytizing Christians to make them Jews. You're out of order. Paul fought that battle in Galatians, and I thought they learned it then when he said, you foolish Galatians. When he rebuked Peter to the face and said, how dare you? I've seen your conduct, Peter. You were fully persuaded that we cannot persuade Gentiles to become Jews. And yet, when we gathered together, all of a sudden, when there's Jews and Gentiles mixed, you shun the Gentiles and stay over with the Jews. Peter, you're out of order. Ooh, that's serious. Well, how come that's serious? Because Paul knew the Lord's Prayer. He knew the Lord's Prayer. He had spent time with the Lord. Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but I pray that you make them one. Anything that divides and separates the body of Christ is not of God. We must settle that thing once and for all. It's time to lay some things straight. This is called warfare. We've got to take care of first cleaning up the house of God before we can clean up the world. When I get phone calls and people are crying and saying they're demanding that I renounce the name of Jesus because it comes from some Greek name, I say to them on the phone, And I say to the people in the groups where I go, where they say, now you can speak here, Henry, but don't you use the name of Jesus. I look them in the eye and I say, wait a minute. I love Yeshua HaMashiach. I want you people to know that, because it's the same name as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. And don't you separate them, or I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'm a warrior, not a worrier. I'm not worried about you. I know your destiny if you continue in the path you're going. You've fallen out of love, and now you've fallen into law. And the letter of the law kills, because it's the word of God. You're out of order. Now that sounds harsh, but I want to tell you something. This is not the time to allow factions to come into the body of Christ to divide our unity and our oneness. If you do, you allow that, then you are going against our Lord's Prayer. If you go against the Lord's Prayer, you are in trouble. So I agree with the Messianic movement. You don't need to make Christians Jews. You need to go to the Jews and make them Christian. Now that's the battle that's going on in the body of Christ. And I know it is grieving the heart of Almighty God, because there are people that will not speak to me today because I use the name of Jesus Christ. I go into places and I've had people push my head up till it hurt my neck with their thumb, and they say, it's not Jesus, it's Yeshua. And I say, get your thumb off of my chin, you Pharisee. And they say, how dare you call me a Pharisee? And I said, because you're a Pharisee. You're doing to me what the Pharisees did to my Lord. It's the way I feel. I want to tell you something. There are many actions today coming against warfare. If the enemy can get us fighting from within, we will never fight without. We will never be one, and therefore we will never put to flight 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, 300,000, 4 million. You see how it multiplies? The enemy knows that. And he seeks to divide husbands and wives, sons and daughters, moms and dads and children. He seeks to divide the children and the families and the churches continually and repeatedly. This year, in the past year, since November of this year, I was in five different nations, across five different nations. In every Christian church that I spoke in, every kind of Christian gathering I spoke in, I asked them this one thing. Will you make a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you make a covenant with your brother and your sister that you can look across the room and see? With the one sitting beside you, before you, behind you? Will you look at that brother, that sister, and will you say, I make a covenant with you. I'm going to love you no matter what. Nothing, nothing, nothing is going to destroy my love for you. If you go into deception, I'm going to love you. Now, I know it didn't sound like I had much love for this situation. I hate the lie. I love the sinner, but I hate the lie. This is the age-old demons that have been around so many generations, and they know you better than you think you know yourself. And they are so crafty, and they are so wicked, merciless, and cruel. But they know how to take the Word of God and turn it around just a little bitty bit and cause you to drop your armor, turn around and say, no more warfare for me. I'm just going to settle back in the church and wait till Jesus comes. I want to tell you something. Out of Jesus' own lips, he said, when I come, I will make you ruler over all that you have, not all that you profess. Henry, you've gone totally stark raving mad. Yeah, I sure have, according to some. I am stark raving mad at the forces of darkness. I can't stand them. I cannot tolerate them. I want no fellowship with those unfruitful works of darkness, but I want to do what the Scripture says. Have no fellowship with them, but reprove them. I've said it hundreds of times. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Wait a minute. It says the weapons of our warfare. So there are weapons of warfare, but they are not. Some people stop right there. There's a book out right now that says they are not. It says you're throwing hatchets at the moon. saying, "Brother, how dare you? How dare you, when we are just beginning to get the church to wake up and realize they've got to fight, how dare you call retreat? How dare you say it's time to stop fighting and go back and lay down and let the devil trample you? How dare you write in your book that we are to reverence Satan because he is in high command? That's the kind of garbage that's in our bookstores out there." Let me tell you something. That book was put in my hand late April of this year. I was fighting for my life with cancer. The doctor said, "Henry, you don't have more than 2 months to live." I had cancer. I was passing cancer in my bowels and the urine. I was fighting for my life. I was getting weaker by the day. I want you to know tonight what I mean when I say, let's go to war. There's no retreat. I love what Churchill said when Hitler was blitzing the cities of England with his missiles. He went on the air, and it looked like England was about to fall. And from that bunker down under London, he made a broadcast all over. And I love the words he gave. He gave an awesome speech. I'd love to have it here to just quote the whole thing to you. But I'll never forget the words that he said. I can still hear them down in that bunker as I listened as I went through that museum now. That's now a museum where there was a command center. I can still hear his words. "We will never, 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 never give up." And I'll tell you something. We're either going to make a decision in these last days and hours that we're going to fight and never give up, or we're going to give up. If we give up, we're going to fall back into delusionary living. We're going to fall back into complacency. We're going to settle back on our lees. Our spiritual strength is going to wane from us. And we're going to settle in on these churches that say, "Today we're going to talk about the joy of the Lord. Now the joy of the Lord is our strength." Sorry, I don't think you believe a word you said, sir. Either that, or you have an ironclad face and it's afraid to show any joy. Or a cow taught you how to preach. Well, I've heard cows moo more cheerfully and donkeys bray with greater joy than that sermon I heard that day as I watched that minister up on his crow's nest. No, the joy of the Lord is either our strength or the joy of the Lord is nothing. Spiritual warfare is to be coupled with two things, two elements. Obviously, the motive for spiritual warfare is salvation for the lost. That you, Mark chapter 16, that you, who's you? I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. That you set the captives free. That you loose the prisoners. That you heal the sick. That you cast out devils. That you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That you do it. I'm with the Father. I'm interceding for you. I won't slumber. I won't sleep. I will not give myself to sleep. What a commitment. I will not drink again until I drink with you. Oh, what a Lord. What a commitment. He's waiting for us. Ephesians 5:26 says, he's coming for a glorious church. That means bright, shining, and apparent as the noonday sun. There's so much that we do in spiritual warfare. It's by faith, isn't it? It's by faith. I walked 7 years. 7 years in the British Isles. And I never saw any results. I had my feet knocked out from under me, knocked off a cliff. Yes, 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 there are casualties in warfare. It isn't warfare if there aren't casualties and injuries. It's peace. And we're not at peace. The Lord said, "I send you forth as sheep among wolves." You ever seen wolves attack sheep? I've seen them. They're merciless. Do you know what wolves do to sheep? They go in among the flock, the herd, and they start barking like dogs, and they get the sheep running. And the lambs fall back because they can't run as fast as the adults. And those wolves go along, and with their sharp, razor-sharp teeth, they clip the tendons of those little lambs, and those little lambs fall down. And they're struggling about, and they can't get up on their feet. They won't work. The tendons are gone. And then they keep going, and they slaughter as many sheep as they can doing that. They disable them that they cannot walk or run. What does the scripture say right there, Isaiah 40, verse 31? But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength, and they shall run. They'll walk, they'll run and not be weary, they'll walk and they'll not faint. And the day is coming, I want to tell you something, when we're going to mount up like wings as eagles. Warfare. I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Sheep among wolves means we are the dumbest creatures on the face of the earth when we walk within ourselves. Dumbest warriors on the face of the earth. Do you know that? In ourselves, we can do nothing. Now, the Lord said that. He said, in yourself, you can do nothing. Now, why are we trying to do something in ourselves all the time? You just make a mess of it.
You can trust God. If God has called you to do something, why run to men? Why tell them? Why raise support from them? Why speak great things about yourself so that they might give? If God has called you, He will provide every one of your needs according to His riches in glory. And if, as we hear these evangelists on television, if you don't support our ministry, we're going down. Then go down. If God's in it, He will hold you up. I want to speak for a moment about Matthew chapter 7. It says, ask, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. So many young people and so many older people come to me discouraged about this verse. It just doesn't work. I pray and I ask and God doesn't answer. Surely this can't mean what it says. And then all the theologians come and say, well, of course, it means exactly what it says, but only in regard to God's will. And of course, we know God doesn't will anything for anybody nowadays. This is a promise. And it is true. You must understand the context, but it is true. This promise is not for those who seek to promote, advance, or preserve self. This promise is not for those who seek to promote, or advance, or even preserve. You understand what I mean by that? God, if you can get glory for yourself, that I be destroyed. It is not about self-preservation. It is not about the promotion of self. This promise is for those who seek God's glory and God's will above all other things. This promise is for those who recognize their utter weakness to attain such a heavenly ambition. And this promise is those who by faith lay hold of the promises of God and persevere until God comes down. The promises belong to those with a right passion. Let me give you a few verses. Matthew 6:9. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You see all these silly little things being said about prosperity today. God wants to prosper you, and He wants to give you a Mercedes and a nice home. God wants you to go out there and name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and get it all for yourself. Let me tell you how it really works. Everything in our life as a Christian is within the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God's dear Son. The mentality of those who pray correctly is this: God, if you can get glory for yourself and you can advance your kingdom through prospering me in any measure, in any way, then so be it. But dear God, if your kingdom will advance and your name will be glorified through me being ground to powder, then so be it. This is not a prayer for you. It is a prayer for Him. It's asking about Him and asking about the advancement of His kingdom. It's another passage that says, Matthew 6:21-24, "For where your treasure is, there is your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and anything else. The problem is with the eye. Because the eye reveals the passion of the heart, the treasure of the heart. I don't need to read your heart. I only need to look at your eye. To what is your eye gazing? What is the goal of your life? And I want you to know something, that even the greatest goals of life can be nothing more than idolatry. Nothing more than idolatry. Ministry is one of the greatest idols in Christianity. Becoming a success in ministry is a putrid, horrid, abominable idol. To become a big person, an important person, one who speaks at a conference. The charismatics, they have their heroes. They're guys who can shake out their coat and make people fall down. Southern Baptists, they have their heroes. You're a success in the ministry. How? Because you've got the biggest number of people and the biggest budget and the most baptisms. And then the Reformed guys, they have their heroes. They all have really big heads with really big brains that know a lot of things. Everyone seems to be trying to be a hero or to get into the inner circle. The eye is focused on one thing. I loved Whitfield. No movement began with Whitfield, because when he was dying, he said, "Let me die and let my name die with me. Just Christ." You've got to judge your motives. You've got to look at those motives and ask yourself, why are you doing this? Most men study the Bible to get a good sermon. And get a good sermon so that they can get an open door. Study the Bible and know God. You pray that thing, "Oh God, use me, God, use me." What you ought to be praying is, "Oh God, use my roommate, let me carry his bags all the days of my life." God will give anything to those who ask Him. If their heart is set on this view. Matthew 6:33. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Go on to 1 Corinthians. "Whatever you do, whether the most menial task of eating and drinking, do it all for the glory of God." And the whole idea is this: the full thrust of your life is to be only one thing: that God be glorified, that the kingdom of Christ advance. Once you step into that realm, if your heart is truly there to seek first only the kingdom, then anything you ask with that passion and that direction, He will give it to you. Anything that is necessary for the name of God to be glorified, anything that is necessary for the kingdom of God to advance, is yours. absolutely everything and anything. The promise belongs to those with the right passion. And the promise belongs to the weak. The promise belongs to the weak. Young men, you will heartily agree that you can do nothing of yourself. You don't know at all what that means. It's going to take so many decades of all your strength being destroyed. You have no idea what it means. Even those of us who are older, and even those who've been in the ministry longer than I've been alive, it's a process of learning. What does God do? God does such a work of destruction in our lives. He says, I will cleanse you in Ezekiel in the New Covenant. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. He will break apart all those cisterns that you make that can't hold water. He will smash them and smash them and smash them until you're left utterly destitute of everything. But God, that is, of course, if you're God's man. If you're not God's man, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And that's the most terrifying thing you could ever imagine. The Pharisees, they wanted to receive glory from men. Jesus said that God gave them their reward in full. And then they went to hell.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Praying, oh God, use me. God, use me. God, use my roommate. Let me carry his bags all the days of my life. God will give anything to those who ask Him if their heart is set on this view. Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Go on to 1 Corinthians. Whatever you do, whether the most menial task of eating and drinking, do it all for the glory of God. And the whole idea is this. The full thrust of your life is to be only one thing, that God be glorified, that the kingdom of Christ advance. Once you step into that realm, if your heart is truly there to seek first only the kingdom, then anything you ask with that passion and that direction, He will give it to you. anything that is necessary for the name of God to be glorified, anything that is necessary for the kingdom of God to advance is yours. Absolutely everything and anything. The promise belongs to those with the right passion. And the promise belongs to the weak. The promise belongs to the weak. Young men, you will heartily agree that you can do nothing of yourself. You don't know at all what that means. It's going to take so many decades of all your strength being destroyed. You have no idea what it means. Even those of us who are older, and even those who've been in the ministry longer than I've been alive, it's a process of learning. What does God do? God does such a work of destruction in our lives. He says, I will cleanse you in Ezekiel in the New Covenant. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. He will break apart all those cisterns that you make that can't hold water. He will smash them and smash them and smash them until you're left utterly destitute of everything. But God, that is, of course, if you're God's man. If you're not God's man, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And that's the most terrifying thing you could ever imagine. The Pharisees, they wanted to receive glory from men. Jesus said that God gave them their reward in full. And then they went to hell.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.